unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about him.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all,
y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday over the airwaves of SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. And, of course, if you want to leave your voicemail messages to get at me because you don't feel like staying online too long, you can always go to SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. That's SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. There are an abundance of stories to get into in the world of the National Football League and college football. There's the Chiefs and the Lions that I'm about to get into. There's the race for the MVP. There's the race for who's the first coach that's going to get fired. You know, is it going to be Mike McDaniels in Miami, or is it going to be Aaron Glenn in New York with the Jets? There's a whole bunch of stuff to get to. And, of course, this college football, Penn State making a change, along with a litany of other programs that have already made a change, along with Alabama making a liar out of me with Kalen DeBoer doing his thing. The number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. Let's get to the Chiefs first. And listen, they're now 3-3 on the season. They couldn't afford to lose last night's game to the Detroit Lions, and they made sure not to let that happen. Over the last three games, let's be fair where fairness is due. First three games of the season, the Chiefs were averaging about 20 points a game. Over the last three games, they're averaging about 31.7. 315.7 yards a game over the first three games of the season. Over the last three games, they're averaging 404.4. Okay, and they've scored 95 points over the last three games, which is their best three-game stretch since 2021, which was Tyreek Hill's final season. The reason I bring this up, ladies and gentlemen, is because I think we have to have a conversation as to whether or not we were a bit presumptive, a bit premature in casting such doubt and aspersions on the Kansas City Chiefs. I ain't blaming myself. Now, I ain't putting that on myself. What I said was, wait till these cats get back. Wait till Xavier Worthy gets back. Wait till Rashee Rice, who's now due to come back next week after serving a 6-game suspension due to something that happened with him involving motor vehicle and, you know, in the courts and all of that stuff. I brought all of that up. But I also brought up the fact that if you take into account Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, Hollywood Brown, Travis Kelce, ever since they've been with the Kansas City Chiefs, they haven't played one single game together on the same football field. Not one. And yet here they are at 3-3, only a game back from first place in the AFC West after 6 weeks in which we know they haven't had all their requisite weapons and they've looked like such a shell of themselves. And we pointed the finger at Patrick Mahomes to some degree, wondering, as great as he is, was he still that dude? Xavier Worthy said it best. Rashee Rice scheduled to return from a 6-game suspension for Sunday's game against the Raiders, which damn well might as be a bye week considering how awful the Las Vegas Raiders have been. What did Xavier Worthy say? Oh, man, everybody's been waiting for it. You know, beaming in front of the camera as it pertains to Rashee Rice's return in week 7. It's what the hype is all about. And we're looking at the Chiefs right now against the Detroit Lions squad. I'm wondering about Detroit because, listen, you lose the way that you lost yesterday, okay? I'm looking at them and I'm saying this is supposed to be the team to beat in the NFC. Evidently not. So we see the Eagles struggling. We see the Detroit Lions now having lost a game to the Kansas City Chiefs. And now we look at Tampa and Baker Mayfield and it's like, oh, damn. Oh, damn. Baker Mayfield looking the way that he looked without Mike Evans, without Chris Godwin, ultimately without Igbuka, the rookie, a rookie of the year candidate at the wideout spot, and Tampa still rolling. Let me tell you something. Things are getting very, very interesting. Things are getting very, very interesting. But before I get into all of that, I want to go back to the Chiefs last night because something happened involving safety Brian Branch, you know, actually defensive back for the Detroit Lions, and after the game, you know, it was damn near a melee because he slapped the helmeted head of Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver Juju Smith-Schuster, okay? Moments earlier, he had ignored Patrick Mahomes' handshake as both teams had filed onto the field. And, you know, talking to cats before the game, or, you know, after the game, and of course, talking to some of my colleagues at ESPN for my day job, First Take ESPN, every weekday from 10 a.m. to 12 noon, we looked at it and we said, what the hell is going on with this? What's their problem? Okay, what the hell is their problem? And then what we learned was that, you know, he had a problem with, he thought he was undercut, and, you know, he was real angry after being blocked in the back by Juju Smith-Schuster, and came and maybe he was ignoring Patrick Mahomes in a handshake because he was too preoccupied mentally and emotionally with getting at Juju Smith-Schuster. Maybe that was what the deal was, and that's what his problem was. And after the game, in credit to Branch, he did acknowledge that you know what he said was inexcusable. But before he had an opportunity to do it, his coach addressed it, Dan Campbell for the Detroit Lions. Listen to what Coach Campbell had to say.
I love Brian Branch, but what he did is inexcusable, and it's not going to be accepted here. It's not what we do. It's not what we're about. I apologize to Coach Reed and the Chiefs and you know, and shoot, that's not okay. We that's not what we do here, and it's not going to be okay. He knows it. Our team knows it, and so that's not what we do.
Now, if it were me, you know, if you left it up to me, it's an automatic suspension. I think there's a game suspension that should come from the league, and I think there's a game suspension that should come from the Detroit Lions. However, you're the Detroit Lions, and the league suspends it for a game, but you don't want to. I can't blame you because you're not satisfied with how your defense looks, and you don't want to put yourself in even more of a precarious position as the season moves forward because you have relevancy to maintain within the NFC conference. So I get that part. The flip side to it is that when you look at this cat Branch, listen, here's the issue. You don't do what he did. It was Bush League. You can't have that kind of nonsense going on. And as Ryan Clark, my colleague, said, he said, listen, you don't have to like him. He don't have to shake anybody's hands. If you're the opposition and you don't like somebody, so be it. We just saw Robert Saleh, you know, you had the coach come from Jacksonville refuse to shake his hand because he didn't appreciate how Robert Saleh said they're legally stealing signs and stuff like that going into San Francisco's game against Jacksonville a couple of weeks ago. So we get that part. We understand that. But the flip side to it, however, is this. When you look at where he's coming from, I'm talking about in terms of Coach Campbell speaking about Branch, there's no excuse for that. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't do that. Can't do what Branch did, all right? And by the way, you can't be hypocritical either. Since he got drafted in 2023, Branch has been fined 13 times for approximately $130,000 for infractions. You know, varying from everything from face mask penalties to low blocks to taunting to obscene gestures to helmet hits and, of course, fighting. Just recently against after Green Bay, he's fined $23,186 for face masking and unsportsmanlike conduct penalties. And like Cam Newton said this morning on television, he's 6'6", 250 pounds. When you grab his face mask, he shrinks to 5'6", 120 pounds. Face mask is a devastating thing to do on the football field, particularly if you're catching somebody off guard. So we got to pay attention to all of that. You can't have that. And you got to universally speak out against vile acts or immature acts that can do harm to other people, sucker punches and all of this other stuff. You had 60 minutes to be out there on the field getting at it. You had to do something like this after the game. You know, Branch felt like, you know, a play is something that he could have got hurt, you know, and he reacted with reporters after the game. Let's be fair and listen to his explanation about what transpired and why he did what he did. Listen up.
They were trying to bully me out there. I should have never did it. Those charges.
How do you process the way it went down for you guys tonight? Just having a winning streak snap and coming in here against a tough opponent.
We beat ourselves, honestly.
What happened between the play? What are you referring to?
I got blocked in the back illegally, and it was running the ref. The ref didn't do anything, and just stuff like that. And that's, I could have got hurt off of that, but I still shouldn't have done that. So
that was at the end of the game. You're talking about somebody hit you in the back? Juju, yeah. Hit you in the back?
Yes.
So Juju in particular was the one that hit you?
Or, yes.
Yeah. Were there other things that they were doing just in terms of maybe rubbing it in at the end?
Yeah, they were It was a lot of stuff, but I should have showed it between the whistle, not after the game, and I apologize for that.
He's owning it. Give credit where credit is due. So it should be easy for him to accept the fine and just move on and move forward. One of the other things, though, if you're going to be pissed at somebody, how about yourself and the rest of your defense? You didn't force a single turnover against Kansas City yesterday. And by the way, the Chiefs have committed a league-low 2 giveaways this year. So give credit where credit is due. Patrick Mahomes led Kansas City 4 touchdowns and 6 trips to the red zones. They're coming. All right? So if you're the Buffalo Bills, you should be worried. If you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, you wasn't considered on KC's level to begin with. If you're Baltimore, who lost yesterday, seems like their season's over, even though they still got an outside chance, even at 1-5. If you're the Colts, we got to pay attention to you because Daniel Jones is doing his thing, and so is Jonathan Taylor. And collectively, they're handling their business. If you're the Chargers, you find a way to win that game, particularly against Miami, which is something we'll get into in a little while. If you're the Denver Broncos, you squeezed out a victory against the New York Jets. Not that impressive, but damn it, a W is a W. In the end, what I see right now is a Kansas City Chiefs team gaining momentum. They're on the way up, and I don't know what the hell these boys are going to be able, anybody in the AFC, to be honest with you, is going to be able to do about them. Now, I kind of teased y'all because, you know, I brought up Baker Mayfield and stuff like that, and I mentioned the Chiefs, right? But did y'all really think I was going to start this show and go to a single first break without bringing up the Cowboys? Did you really think I was going to do that? You really think I was going to forget to bring up the Cowboys losing to the Carolina Panthers yesterday? Did you really think I was going to be, hey, did you really think that I was going to avoid doing that? Because I could assure you, I had no intentions of avoiding doing that. The Cowboys lost yesterday. I'm so surprised. I'm so surprised. And listen, 30-27, I got to give credit where credit is due. I can sit up there and make fun of it, and the Cowboys finding a way to lose this game. But I got to admit this. Dak Prescott, without CeeDee Lamb, completing 74% of his passes, 261 yards, 3 touchdowns, no sacks, a 90.2 QBR, playing like an MVP candidate. As of right now, Dak Prescott is second in the league in passing yards behind Matthew Stafford, second with 13 touchdown passes behind only Jared Goff, fourth with 71.6% completion percentage, second in QBR behind only Daniel Jones of Indy, with, you know. And in terms of fourth quarter comebacks, he's got 2. Only Baker Mayfield has more, which is 4. And this cat, George Pickens, okay, who came over from the Pittsburgh Steelers, who is a stud, who can ball, who's been picking up the slack for CeeDee Lamb, 9 passes for 168 yards, and a touchdown, okay? A touchdown, by the way, for the 5th consecutive game, and he's got 6 touchdowns during this stretch, okay? The brother's been flat-out balling. You're going to have to pay that man, Jerry, and here's what's going to be interesting with Jerry Jones, who's the birthday boy, by the way, my Libra buddy. Jerry Jones, owner for the Dallas Cowboys. Today is his birthday. Turned 83 years of age today. That same Jerry Jones is going to have to negotiate a deal with George Pickens, who, by the way, is represented by David Mulugeta, who represented Micah Parsons, or who represents Micah Parsons. So that's going to be interesting to watch as the season unfolds. But far be it for me to spend this time ignoring the props that I have to give to the Carolina Panthers, because they are now winners of 3 of their last 4 games. Falcons, Dolphins, Cowboys. They're 3-0 at home, 0-3 on the road, but they're a 500 football team playing respectable. Okay, and I got to give love where love is due. But before I go any further, let me say this. Listen, this might be breaking news. It might be breaking news. So it's important that I say this. I'm not flawless. I know that shocks y'all. I know that shocks y'all. I know it's a big, big shock to all of you out there. But I'm not perfect. There are some times that I make a prediction, and dare I say I am wrong. And I predicted that the Dallas Cowboys would find a way to win this game. I predicted that these are the Carolina Panthers that we're talking about here. And it was no big deal to be made out of the fact that they came back from a 17-0 deficit and beat the Miami Dolphins a week ago. Or that they blew out the Falcons 30-0 a week before that. I get it. I understand it. I understand it. I said all of these things. But the reason I got to take a moment to stand down and give the Carolina Panthers props is because their PR department came out with a video directly against me. Me. They came at me. I have to let y'all hear it. For those of you out there, YouTube, to see it. Check out the Carolina Panthers and the video they put out after beating the Dallas Cowboys. Watch this.
Should the Cowboys be on upset alert?
I don't think so.
McMillan, his first NFL touchdown.
I saw Carolina come back against Miami last week, but that's Miami.
Wide open man is Dowdle, and he's going to take it to the end zone against his former team.
If that's the Dallas Cowboys, they're putting up 40.
Both offenses are just shy of 30.
I just don't think that defense is going to be able to stop Dallas's offense.
Wobbly throw, grabbed by Williams, and he gets swung down by Wallace for another loss.
Yo, y'all, they got me. I can't even front. They got me. I deserve every bit of the trolling that the Carolina Panthers put on me. No doubt about it. They got me good. But I want to take a moment to give props to two people more than anything. This cat Rico Dowdle, I mean, the man just rushed for 206 yards last week, told the Dallas Cowboys to buckle up before the game, and then proceeded to go out there and run for 183 yards on 30 carries. Also caught four passes for a team leading 56 yards and a touchdown, by the way. Rico Dowdle was flat out balling. This is a man that Jerry Jones refused to make an offer to resign during free agency, leading him to sign with the Panthers for a one-year, $3 million deal, which could grow to $6.5 million with incentives. Jones opted to sign Javonte Williams, one-year, $3 million instead, and obviously a decision that was criticized after Rico became a 1,000-yard rusher. You know, in Dallas. I mean, this is what it is. So Rico Dowdle warned the Dallas Cowboys, told them to buckle up before they came to town, and then promptly did what he did. 239 yards from scrimmage on the day, which set a franchise record. You know why he did that, right, ladies and gentlemen? Because the Dallas Cowboys defense is soft as hell. That's why. Soft as cottonelle tissue. That's what that's about. They soft as hell. And he basically told them, I'm going to kick y'all ass. And then proceeded to go out there and do exactly that. So he deserves a lot of props. If you're the Dallas Cowboys defense, not so much, obviously, because you've been struggling. And I'm just looking at this cat right now. And listen, you just can't say enough. And Bryce Young is doing a damn good job right now. We can't take anything away from him. Bryce Young is doing his thing. Zone coverage on 85% of his dropbacks, by the way. Completing 14 and 21 passes for 174 yards, two touchdowns, one interception against the zone. If you're the Dallas Cowboys and Brian Schottenheimer, what the hell are you playing zone for? He's talking about he believes in Eberflus's scheme. Did you see his quote? That's a bigger question. Schottenheimer said, I would think so. I would hope so. What are we, six games in? Is that right? Six games? Yeah, I would think so. We plugged one hole in the passing game a couple of weeks ago, right? Certainly, we've shown the ability to run the football. We've shown the ability to stop the run, but there's a consistency that's not showing up. We got to be better, and that starts with me. That starts with the coaching staff to put these guys in the right position. What Brian Schottenheimer left out was a couple of things. Number one, Michael Irvin, right there with that tweet. He puts out, I have never seen an NFL defense with so many people running wide open. In other words, you have no defense. And by the way, not only are they running wide open, you don't have anybody to get to a quarterback because you let go of Micah Parsons, which was a huge mistake that Jerry Jones is going to have to just deal with eventually. And you also got to remember, through six games, Dallas is allowing a league-worst 412 yards per game. And opponents are scoring over 31 points a game. I mean, that's horrid. That's what we're talking about with the Dallas Cowboys, which forces me to have to get on my man Jerry Jones. Because if you're Jerry Jones, here's the reality. Total defense should dead last. Pass defense should dead last. Third down defense should third last. Scoring defense should second last. Run defense should fourth worst in the league, or third worst in the league. Come on, man. Come on, man. And you're Jerry, and you turned 83, and you turned 83 today, and you're talking about your own mortality. You know what? You keep Micah Parsons, and you still already had George Pickens on the squad with a CeeDee Lamb. And by the way, don't put CeeDee Lamb in some damn eye formation, having him running the football out of the backfield. He'd probably still be on the damn field if he didn't have to do that. He's not a running back, having to fend off defensive linemen and linebackers to get deep into a secondary. He's a wide receiver that shouldn't have to deal with all of that. Don't put him in that position again. That's why he got hurt to begin with. But in the end, what it comes to, against Chicago, but in the end, what it comes down to is that it is what it is. The Dallas Cowboys lost. The Carolina Panthers won. He gave them a prime opportunity to troll me, and I flat out deserve it. Y'all got me on this one. Y'all got me. It's all love, baby. It's all love. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. Plus, you can go to SiriusXM.com/GetSerious to leave your voicemail messages. Once again, that's SiriusXM.com/GetSerious to get your voicemail messages. You are listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with your calls and then some in a minute.
Think you have what it takes to debate Stephen A.? Call the show at 888-MAD-DOG-6. Here's Stephen A. Smith.
27 minutes past hour number one back here on the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Let me take a moment to give props to my Pittsburgh Steelers, who are now 4-1 on the year, courtesy of Aaron Rodgers, 21 of 30 passes, 70% of those passes, 235 yards, two touchdowns, not a single turnover, no sacks, and a 115.3 passer rating. The Browns, led by Myles Garrett, couldn't get a sack against him. Aaron Rodgers has 10 touchdown passes against only three picks this season. He's 4-0 with a 71% completion percentage, 11-0 pass to TD interception ratio, and a 124.4 passer rating lifetime against the Cleveland Browns. So beating them is easy for him, okay? Cleveland has now lost 22 straight regular season games in Pittsburgh, a streak that dates back to 2003 and includes 15 different quarterbacks taking similar levels of punishment. Optically and offensively, this latest one was amongst the worst because I feel bad for the Browns defense. I mean, I know it says they allowed 282 yards per game this season. That's the fewest of any team with a losing record in the National Football League. They've scored 17 or fewer points in 11 straight games. They have no offense, okay? This is why eventually we're going to see Shedeur Sanders, not the Dylan Gabriel of the world. They've got nothing to lose because they can't score on anybody. Their defense is talented. But because they don't have a quarterback, they don't have much of an offense. And that's why you can have your way with them. If you've got a defense that can completely shut them down and an offense that has a pulse, you will beat the Cleveland Browns. It's just that simple. So I want to give them props where props is due. Miami and the New York Jets are another matter entirely. I don't know if y'all saw the sound of Tua Tagovailoa speaking on his Dolphins teammates in the aftermath of yesterday's loss to the Los Angeles Chargers. But I got to tell you, it wasn't comfortable to look at. Sean, do we have the sound of Tua Tagovailoa speaking? This is the quarterback for the Miami Dolphins in the aftermath of their game. Listen to the quarterback and what he had to say.
Well, I think it starts with the leadership in helping articulate that for the guys and then what we're expecting out of the guys, right? We're expecting this. Are we getting that? Are we not getting that? We have guys showing up to player-only meetings late, guys not showing up to player-only meetings. Like, there's a lot that goes into that. Do we have to make this mandatory? Do we not have to make this mandatory? So it's a lot of things of that nature that we got to get cleaned up, and it starts with the little things like that.
To be clear, you're saying some players were late or missed?
Late, yeah.
Wow. Normally you don't hear a quarterback calling out his team like that. But desperate times call for desperate measures. And the reality is as of right now, it's just not fun watching the Miami Dolphins. I mean, Tua statistically completing nearly 70% of his passes. Those seven interceptions ain't good. That doesn't look good. A QBR 50 isn't good. But what does Tua say? He's sitting up there talking about team meetings and people not showing up, people showing up late, et cetera, et cetera. He calling them out. And what he's essentially saying is that there's a lack of leadership on this team. And he'll be damned if he's going to sit up there and just take it all on his own without telling everybody what the hell is going on with this team. They don't have a voice. Who the hell is their head coach? His name is Mike McDaniels. Listen to this sound, and it will all make sense for you. Coach Mike McDaniels of the Miami Dolphins, after Tua said what he had to say about guys not showing up on time for meetings or not showing up at all. Listen to the head coach.
Player-led meetings are extra things outside of, you know, what I demand. We've been very accountable to me. It sounds like there was something on his mind with regard to the specific meetings with a couple individuals that he was trying to get corrected by being with direct communication. So, you know, I think that's the only way to lead as far as where we've been at as a program. I think, you know, we've opened the air on all of that, and it's very clear what our how we hold people accountable, and you know where my what's non-negotiable with all those things. So it clearly he's sending a message, but from my standpoint, you know, everything that I've asked of the guys, they have delivered on, and so I'm sure whomever he's talking to, they'll deliver as well. As he's a direct communicator with his teammates.
Now that's straight BS. That's what that is. That's straight BS right there, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, listen, he don't even sound like a damn head coach. I mean, he damn sure don't look like one. He don't sound like a head coach either. I mean, what is that? What is that? Okay? And you're talking about players, they're doing everything that you asked them to do. How the hell are they doing everything you asked them to do and they 1-5? How's that? You're 1-5. You're on a fast track to nowhere. You ain't been to the playoffs in a while. You ain't won a division crown in decades. What are you talking about? It makes no sense whatsoever. He's about to be fired. He's about to be fired. They're about to replace him as the head coach. And the only argument that you could make for the Dolphins right now is that you can say they're not worse than the New York Jets. That's about the only thing that you can say. And why would I say that? Have you seen the Jets yesterday? Did you see them struggling the way that they did? Did you see that? And by the way, I'm going to look to my right and say to people in my studio, I know that I'm not hearing noise out there while I'm on the air. I suggest y'all quiet down. Now let me get back to the business at hand. In the end, what it comes down to is that what the hell is that? So you got a situation right now where the Dolphins are struggling, but they ain't worse than the Jets. The Jets, I can't take this anymore about the New York Jets. I just can't. I have to say this right now. I'm not advocating for Aaron Glenn to be fired, okay? They're 0-6 on the season. This season is over, all right? We get that part, okay? But let me say this to you. While I'm not advocating for Aaron Glenn to get fired, anybody that thinks otherwise, I can't fault you. The Jets are just horrible. They don't look like they know their ass from their feet. They are just a deplorable looking franchise right now. It's hard to put into words how they look. And then you got Garrett Wilson cats on the sideline looking at the coach, basically saying they don't know what the hell they were doing. They weren't figuring it out. And when that something like that happens, ladies and gentlemen, that's the kind of stuff that'll get a coach fired. When you're looking at players and they're on the football field looking confused, like they don't know what the hell is going on. They don't know what formation, what set they're in, what routes to run. You understand? They don't know anything that's going on. That was what was going on with the New York Jets. And by the way, minus 10 yards in passing offense, minus 10. You know how bad you have to be minus? Justin Fields clearly holding on to the football too long. I think that what has happened to him in New York is the worst possible thing that can happen. Because after this, nobody's going to have faith in Justin Fields anymore. After this season, nobody's going to have faith in him. You looked at him in week one and you say, damn, he looks great. His upside, oh man, the potential is there. But then as the season progresses, he's got progressively worse and worse and worse. And yesterday was a catastrophe. And you're looking at a New York Jets franchise because we got to call it like we see it, right? You're looking at a New York Jets franchise, okay, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm going to bring it to you plain as day. The New York Jets went to back-to-back AFC title games under Rex Ryan. In 2009, 2010, they haven't been to the playoffs since. They're going on 15 straight years missing the playoffs. And looking here at their record, ladies and gentlemen, in those 15 years, do you know how many times they've had a winning record? Once. I mean, this is bad. This is bad. And then you had an opportunity where you could have drafted a Jackson Dart if you were a visionary. You did your homework and you knew how good and how talented he was. But no, not only do you pass on him for an offensive lineman, but you let him go to the other team playing at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey, which is the New York Giants. It's bad. It's bad. Plain and simple. Number to call up is 888-MAD-DOG-6. It's 888-623-3646. By the way, in terms of GetSerious.com/GetSerious, this weekend's over. The excuses are done. I want fresh energy, fresh opinions, and takes that are worth my time. Go to SiriusXM.com/GetSerious and let me see what you've got, courtesy of a voicemail message, to call into the show. Let's go to the phones at 888-MAD-DOG-6. Let's get right to it. Cologne in New Jersey, you're live with Stephen A. What's up, man? Talk to me.
Hey, Steve, you know, I think this is the first time I've seen a prevent offense. What they did before the end of the half, they don't know what they were doing, and they didn't want to score. They were, like, playing scared. And even, like, Kurt Warner and Rich Eisen, they were befuddled. They said, we don't know what's going on here. We don't know. We're going to try to figure it out, and they never go back to it. But, Steven,
when that happens, though, that is a reflection on the coach. I'm trying to be kind because he was a big-time defensive coordinator coming over. He's played in a culture where they know what they're doing over there with Dan Campbell. He took the head coaching job with the New York Jets. I did not expect them, especially after the way they looked in game one against Pittsburgh, I did not expect the New York Jets to look this bad, but they have. And he doesn't seem to have his fingerprints or on anything right now with the New York Jets. It's just alarming futility, and there's no way around it. I'm hoping that he'll last. It is year one, but it is not a good look by any stretch of the imagination, my brother. It really isn't.
Yeah. And in the press conference, being testy, you know, with Brian Costello and, you know, and challenging him, it's not a good look. And now, listen, we know the Jets are the worst team. We know most likely they're probably going to have the number one pick overall. I don't see how Aaron Glenn can be there and get a quarterback and he be the one that's going to obviously, train this quarterback. You know?
I got you. So, I appreciate the call, Colin. Cologne, thank you so much. I mean, you're right. You ain't wrong. Can't knock that at all. Can't knock it at all. Let's go to Greg in Michigan. You're live with Stephen A. Talk to me, Greg. What's up?
Stephen A., Mr. Positive. God, you're speaking the gospel. Optically, it's not been great for the Detroit teams with what happened with Branch. Oh, my God, I apologize. Detroit Tigers and now Aaron Glenn. Wow, help us out, Stephen. And real quick, looking forward to with you with Cuomo and O'Reilly Wednesday night. It's going to be fantastic. But here's the thing. Everybody that I talk to, and it's on Facebook and wherever, do you think because, like Jordan, and I love my LeBron, like LeBron and the Kansas City Chiefs, because they're winners, people look down on them and say they get favoritism. Would you say that in some element they do?
No. You know why? Because what talking about with Mike McDaniel and Aaron Glenn teaches us, you know what? Winners make their own luck. Why wouldn't you give them the benefit of the doubt? Does not Patrick Mahomes know what he's doing? Does not Andy Reid know what he's doing? Do not the Chiefs collectively working their way through the muck and mire of whatever situation they found themselves in, whether Xavier Worthy goes down after running into Travis Kelce in the opener across the ocean, or whether Rashee Rice gets himself involved in some vehicular matter, and as a result, he's getting suspended for 6 games. Don't they find a way to work through it to stay afloat and to make sure they're still in the mix when it's time? What about what you know, when you look at stuff like that, that's what you see. You don't see Miami. You don't see the New York Jets. You just see a bump in the road knowing that ultimately they'll overcome it. That's what you see.
Oh, my God, Stephen A., brilliantly said. America, are you listening? Everybody, go for your dreams. Love you, Stephen A.
Thanks, you. Appreciate you, man. Thank you so much. Let's go to Elijah in L.A. You're live with Stephen A. What's going on, man? How you doing? How's everything going?
I'm good, bro. How are you?
I'm good, man. Talk to me. What's on your mind?
All right. So, listen, I want to talk about Drake May, okay?
Even
though I'm not in L.A., I'm a Pats fan, okay? I love what Drake May's doing. And I remember, bro, when Stephon went to New England, you're like, really, bro? He's going from Josh Allen to CJ to Drake May? And now yeah. look, bro.
You know what right now? Right now, bro, Elijah, I got Drake May as arguably a top five to top seven quarterback in the entire National Football League.
Thank you, bro. Oh, my God.
I mean, this brother is doing his thing. And give Stephon Diggs credit. 32 receptions for 387 yards on the season. You know what I'm saying? Boutte, he's got 301 yards. You look at Hunter Henry, he's been balling as well. You look at Ramondre Stevenson, averaging, well, it's only 3 yards a carry, but still in all, he's been a workman for them. I'm just looking at, and I got to give love to Coach Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel clearly knows what the hell he's doing as a head coach. They got a top 10 defense overall in points allowed and against the run. Their passing defense obviously has to improve significantly. But the bottom line is that you can't – everybody been talking about Bills Mafia, and are you taking the Bills or the field in the AFC? Do you know that the Bills are going to win the AFC East? I don't.
Oh,
it's not etched in stone. The Patriots can challenge. I will say this to you, Elijah. Here's what I said the other day, and I'll say it to you right here again. The New England Patriots have found themselves their quarterback of the future.
Oh yeah, I mean 75.
That's what I would say.
It's 9 touchdowns, 1 interception. This guy, he is balling like crazy. I've been seeing people ranking Jalen Hurts in the top 5. I'm like, man, come on.
No, Drake. Well. The problem, they were doing that a couple of weeks ago when he had won 18 straight in games that Jalen Hurts had started or finished. He had won 18 straight games. That's why they did that. If that wasn't the case, they wouldn't have done that. So, you know, they ain't saying that now after the Eagles lost 2 straight. You talk about what they said weeks ago before their 2-game losing streak.
It's just even then, though, I feel like Jalen Hurts, is he really top 5 because he plays around in offense?
Well, they weren't saying that he was top 5. They were saying that he should be in the discussion because he's a winner. But the Eagles have been losing over the last couple of weeks, and that's why they're not trying to give him that kind of love. But Drake May is something special, which is the origin of your call. And you're absolutely right. Drake May has to get our respect and our props. And a legitimate argument could be made. They would have beat Pittsburgh had they not turned over the damn ball so much, and they'd be in the throes of a 5-game winning streak. But it didn't happen. Appreciate the call, Elijah. Thank you so much. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. Before I go to break, let's hear from Miss Blake in Charlotte real quick with the voicemail message.
Pounding. We don't hear you talking, Stephen A. Let's pose that question one more time. Should them boys be on upset alert? I guess they got the answer yesterday. Came to Carolina and got all the smoke. I guess they didn't buckle up.
You're right. I'm going to tell you that's a very respectable take on your part. I ain't mad at you. I got it, Miss Blake. Y'all got me. Hold on to that moment. It ain't many. I like how the Carolina Panther fan base sticking out the chest when y'all have been moribund for years, okay? But the fact that y'all are relevant now, I'm going to give love where love is due. I went to school down in Winston-Salem State. The Bible Belt is nearby in Charlotte. I get it. And the fact that y'all are relevant for a change, I give you a lot of props for that because I like the way Bryce Young is looking. I like the way Rico Dowdle is looking. I like the way your coach is handling business. Respect where respect is due. Your owner could finally come out in public after all. Usually that wasn't the case. He had to hop on the jet and get the hell out of town because people were so disgusted with him. That ain't the case right now in Charlotte. He should hold on to that moment. It's a good thing. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call up. It's 888-623-3646. More of your calls, more NFL talk, more college football talk and some of the changes that took place there. You're listening live to Stephen A. right here, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with more in a minute.
Back to the Stephen A. Smith Show.
Minutes past hour number one back here on the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM Mad Dog Sports Radio. Let's go to this other rant at SiriusXM.com/GetSirious by Stan in Albany, New York.
Stephen A., you're talking about that the New York Jets should have taken Jackson Dart at the first round pick in last year's draft? Where were you when the draft happened? You didn't say the Jets should have taken Dart, but oh, all of a sudden Dart has a couple good starts and all of a sudden you're a big Jackson Dart fan and you know what the Jets should have done. Hindsight is 20/20, eh, Stephen A.?
You're absolutely right, Stan. Not only is that a respectable take, I'll give you a say. That's what I'm talking about. I don't mind you coming at me like that because you're absolutely right. But here's the part that you're missing, Stan. Hindsight is 20/20. But it ain't my job or your job. It is the job of the New York Jets to know that you need a quarterback and to make sure it don't land at the other team playing in your building every Sunday or Thursday or Monday. That's your job. And the fact of the matter is that that's not what they did. I'm saying if you're the New York Jets and you had, hypothetically, a scatterboo and a dart playing for you right now in East Rutherford instead of for Big Blue, how would your franchise be looking right now? That's my point. The point is that somebody other than the New York Jets always seemed to get stuff right. Mike Vrabel was out there for a head coach. The New England Patriots hired him. Jackson Dart was out there as a quarterback. The New York Giants got him. At some point in time, when you going to stop being can't get right? From the movie Life. When you going to stop being that character can't get right? When's it going to happen? That's what I'm talking about. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number. Call up. That's 888-623-3646. Back to the phones we go. Let's go to Kevin in Ohio. You're live with Stephen A. What's up, Kev? How are you?
Hey, Stephen A. How you doing today?
I'm good. I'm good, man. Talk to me.
Yeah, I'm on this Jets thing and the Steelers a little bit here because of Justin Fields. I just don't – that was some of the worst offense I have seen in years in football.
I mean, it was horrible, bro. It was horrible. You know how you got those multiple games on the screen and stuff like that? I mean, listen, what are you saying?
I mean, it's like – and then my thing with Justin Fields. Now, I'm a big old State fan, so I really like Fields. Now, keep in mind – us as Steelers fans, we had both him and Russell Wilson battling it out last year. You go figure that one. But even with Justin Fields, you could see him regressing. This dude, he's back to holding his football. At least when he was with the Steelers, we had him getting the ball out. He was throwing it. It might have been dink and dunk, but he was getting it out. He wasn't getting sacked 9 times. And then you go to the Jets. It is just some teams that, as a quarterback, I'm not going to, and I already have a shaky thing going at quarterback. That's the Browns and the Jets. Why wouldn't I stay? I understand you upset because you was benched for Russell Wilson. I totally understand that. But you have a better opportunity with Pittsburgh with your career than you do with the Jets.
You're talking about a guy. He left. He didn't think about the system or anything like that. He left. Evidently, he felt he wasn't believed in enough by Mike Tomlin or what have you. And it turns out Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers knew what they were doing by letting him walk out the door. They went the 41-year-old route of Aaron Rodgers. And look at how the Steelers are looking right now. Appreciate the call, Kev. I got to go. Thank you so much. Breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. Breaking news. The Tennessee Titans have fired head coach Brian Callahan. I guess they said, you go out there and you lost to the Las Vegas Raiders and Geno Smith, you don't deserve a job. That's basically what they said. They fired him. Brian Callahan has now been fired as the new head as the head coach for the Tennessee Titans. I'm willing to guess for you, ladies and gentlemen, Mike McDaniels of the Dolphins won't be far behind, and it's entirely possible that neither will Aaron Glenn of the New York Jets. I think I'm just guessing, but I think both situations look very, very bad. Let's go to Corey in Illinois. You're live with Stephen A. What's up, man? Talk to me.
What up, Stephen A? It's always a good Monday when the Cowboys lose. What I want to talk to you about today is, you just hit it right there. I was going to talk about Cam Ward. I'm the big Raiders fan, man. And yesterday, that game was pathetic, man. When you got to hold your offensive coordinator, has to hold your quarterback, Geno Smith, to only allowing that man to throw one pass over 10 yards, to dink and dunk the whole game, and that's your – how many years he been in the league? 15, 13? I want to say he's been in the league 13 years, and you got to manage that man like that? But watching Cam Ward yesterday, that's what I was going to say. There's no way that this is the most quietest number one pick that I can ever recall in the NFL. This guy has got no –
Well, time out. It might not be because of him. That's why Callahan got fired. His first year was 3-14. He's 1-5 now. So that's a combined record of 4-19 in this first season and a half in the National Football League. And let me tell you something right now. Every football analyst I spoke to talked about the skill set of Cam Ward and what he brings to the table. So clearly they said it was coaching. Here's the problem. It's the Tennessee Titans we're talking about. Remember, this is the same organization that let go of Mike Vrabel. You let go of Mike Vrabel. Mike, I mean, think about that for a second here. And you let go of him, and you bring in Brian Callahan. So now what you're going to do, all right? You got to find a coach, and you got to make sure that you find a coach that know what the hell they're doing. Period. End of discussion. Go ahead. I'll give you the last word. Go ahead.
All right, Stephen. Thank you, man. But, yeah, that's what I was going to say, too, is it ain't the coaching with Cam Ward. I don't think it's Cam. But that offense and that game yesterday looked like two high school teams could have beat either one of those teams yesterday. And then again, you know, Geno Smith is Geno Smith, man. We ain't got nothing else to fight back on right now.
And the discussion. End of discussion right there. I got to go, Corey. Appreciate the call, man. Let's go to Jack in Tampa, who don't have those kind of problems. Not with the way Baker Mayfield is playing as the leading candidate for league MVP honors right now, the way that he's been balling. Jack, you're on the line with Stephen A. Go ahead.
Hey, Stephen A., my pleasure to speak with you. Quick breakdown. I'm from Buffalo. I live in Tampa, but I'm a Patrick Mahomes and Chiefs fan. But my question about the Bucs, do you think a win against the Lions put them in the driver's seat for an NFC championship?
I'm not going to say driver's seat, but there's no reason right now to look at the NFC championship game in the NFL and assume that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers ain't going to be one of those teams. There's no reason to do that now. Not with the way Baker Mayfield is playing and doing so without Evans and Godwin and Igbuka. I mean, to do what he's doing without these brothers, could you imagine when they come back what it's going to be like for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers right now? And I'm a fan of Todd Bowles. I'm rooting for him. I always liked him as a person. I always rooted for him when he was head coach of the New York Jets. And now here he is in Tampa doing his things. And major props to Bruce Arians, the former coach of Tampa, for having, having the faith in Todd Bowles that he did to make sure that he positioned him to be his successor. We always got to remember to give love to Bruce Arians for that reason. Always.
I agree. Thank you.
All right. Take care of yourself, bro. Talk to you later. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. That's the number to call into the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. And if you want to leave a voicemail message, go to SiriusXM.com/getSirius. That's SiriusXM.com/getSirius. There's a lot to get into as the show progresses today. More NFL stuff going on throughout the National Football League. I told you about Tampa. I told you about Detroit. Going to mention Philly, obviously. Looking out west in San Francisco, losing Warner for the year with his ankle injury. That's something to get into. Some stuff in the AFC going on and some stuff in college football going on as well that we simply cannot avoid, all right? It's the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. Hour number two coming up your way next.
Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about him.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all,
y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
Welcome to hour number two of the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio, coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Remember, my show re-airs on SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, every weeknight from 6 to 8 p.m. as well. So stay tuned to the Stephen A. Smith Show coming your way before and after Mad Dog Russo comes on with his afternoon drive show from 3 to 6 p.m. every weekday. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. Also, to leave your voicemail messages, just go to SiriusXM.com/GetSirious. That's SiriusXM.com/GetSirious. Every NFL game is on SiriusXM. Tonight at 7:15 Eastern, the Atlanta Falcons will host the Buffalo Bills on Monday Night Football. Listen to the Falcons feed on channel 138 or 226, the Bills feed on channel 137 or 225, and the national feed on NFL Radio channel 88. You can also catch all the action on the SiriusXM app. Just search Falcons and Bills. Back to the phones we go at 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. But before I get into all of that, actually, before I get to the phones, I want y'all to know that I'm very, very sad today. I've been in this business for 30 plus years now. And one of the things that I religiously and unapologetically fought for was more African-Americans getting head coaching jobs. in college football in particular. Not to say it was limited to that, NBA, NFL, that kind of thing, but certainly in college football, because I think the numbers were well represented in the NBA, could have been better in the National Football League, but were egregious in college football, at least once upon a time. I got news yesterday, clearly hours after Penn State had lost another game, this time a one-point loss on its home turf to Northwestern. And I knew in the aftermath of that game that James Franklin would lose his job. And you know how bad it was for James Franklin? All over sports, it was plastered everywhere for everybody that James Franklin would be owed $49.7
million. $49.7
million. $49.7
million.
That would be his buyout. And you still knew he was going to get fired. That's how bad of a job you're doing when somebody knows you're owed nearly $50 million and you know a college institution, an institution supposedly of higher learning, would be willing to dole out $50 million just for you to go the hell away. Now, to put things in this proper perspective, James Franklin had the Penn State Nittany Lions in the College Football Playoffs Final Four team last year. James Franklin, I think, is a damn good coach. But when you're at Penn State, expectation has to be greatness. We got to remember that they were filtering and falling off before the whole Sandusky scandal, but really the Sandusky scandal is what tainted Joe Paterno. Remember Sandusky was molesting, you know, younger boys and stuff like that, you know, working for Penn State. You know, this is what people were talking about. And you have to understand, if he wasn't working for Penn State, had an office there or something, and was obviously close to the program, at least at one point in time. And Joe Paterno's name got smeared because of that, fairly or unfairly in a lot of people's eyes. That's not what I'm trying to talk about. What I'm trying to talk about is understand that Penn State has had a few national championships on its resume, not one since 1986. But it was a nationally ranked program, rife with expectations, a place where Saquon Barkley starred, by the way. And you had expectations for them. Coming into this season, they were considered a top two team in the nation. And then to falter, to lose to Oregon, bad enough. But then to lose again to Northwestern after being favored by 20, to lose to UCLA before that, after being favored by 20, those two losses, Northwestern, UCLA, made Penn State the first team since the FBS and the FCS split in 1978 to lose consecutive games while favored by 20 or more points in each game. They're 3-3 on the season. Your three victories, the three victories that you had was against Nevada, Florida International, and Villanova. Who the hell cares? You're the Nittany Lions. You're Penn State. Their expectations are higher. And unfortunately, he didn't deliver. And it breaks my heart that, you know what? He's got to go. But I'm here to tell you, Penn State made the right decision. It has nothing to do with James Franklin directly. You cannot go to a program like that and fall that flagrantly, be that bad, and expect to keep your job. But I'm going to tell you what's worse. You can't go to the university and say, I need more money. I need to go out and get this coordinator from Ohio State in the Big Ten. And you pay him and make him the highest paid coordinator in all of football and then lose like this. You can't turn around and say, I need money for the transfer portal or for NIL. And they boatload you with all of this cash. And then you lose. I unapologetically root for black success. I'm not apologizing for it to anybody. It doesn't mean I'm against white success or anything like that. But when you are a brother, I'm rooting for you. But then you got to go out and produce because I got to call it like I see it. And when you got Penn State, this is James Franklin that we're talking about here. Think about this. Yes, his tenure at Penn State began in 2014. That's 12 years. Yes, he leads with a 104-45 record, including a Big Ten championship in 2016, an appearance in the college football playoffs. Yes, that is true. You know what else is true? After the recent loss to Oregon, that dropped Franklin's record to 4-21 at Penn State against Associated Press top 10 opponents. 4-21. His record was 1-18 against top 10 Big Ten teams. He was 3-12 against top 10 opponents at Penn State when the Nittany Lions were also ranked in the top 10. His winning percentage, rather, against AP top 10 teams is 16%, tied for the third worst record by a coach at a minimum of 25 games at a single school since the poll era began in 1936. And his record combined against Ohio State and Michigan is 4-17, 1-10 against Ohio State, 3-7 against Michigan as Penn State's head coach. You had to fire him. I wish James Franklin nothing but the best. I hope he lands somewhere else and proves to be a better coach than he was in big games at Penn State. But the record is the record. And fair is fair. And if you Penn State, not that he'd want to leave, you got to look at somebody like Cignetti at Indiana. You got to look at a couple of these other cats. I'm just looking at them and I'm saying to myself, yo, this is what it is. What am I supposed to say? And then, you know what? We're not paying enough attention to the buyouts in college sports because I'm just looking at some of these things. This is halfway through this regular season in college football. And already, Stanford with Troy Taylor, UCLA with DeShaun Foster, Virginia Tech with Brent Pry, Oklahoma State with Mike Gundy, Arkansas with Sam Pittman, Oregon State with Trent Bray, and now Franklin, all gone. By year's end, according to the numbers, the combined cost of these buyouts could easily swell above $200 million. Now let that sink in for a second. Supposed institutions of higher learning negotiating themselves into paying $200 million to people who will no longer be working for them. And one statistic that somebody gave me, one of my researchers gave me, how much is $200 million? How much is $200 million? It's enough for the scholarships of roughly 5,000 women's and Olympic sports athletes. Bye, baby. Daddy loves you. Saying bye to my daughter, Nyla. Forgive me. That's what we're talking about here. 5,000 women, enough to pay for scholarships for 5,000 women's and Olympic sports athletes. And according to USA Today's coaching salary database, published just last week, none of the 30 highest paid coaches in the country have a buyout of less than $20 million. $20 million. This is what we're talking about. It's bad, man. It's bad. We just got to call it like we see it. And by the way, I don't give a damn what the University of North Carolina says. I wouldn't be shocked if Belichick is next. It's pretty bad down in Chapel Hill. It's pretty bad. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. Vince in Indiana. Holler at me, bro. What's up?
Hey, Stephen. Hey, it's a real pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you so much. What's going on?
That's a good lead-in with Bill Belichick, because that's what I wanted to bring up. I think Bill Belichick will be fired or bought out at North Carolina, and I think he'll be the next Jets head coach. You know, he left him at the
way back when. You think Bill Belichick would be the next Jets head coach? Is that what you just said?
So you think
that Bill Belichick, after leaving the Jets high and dry and Woody Johnson years ago to take over the New England job, albeit a very long time ago, that Woody Johnson would embrace Belichick at this stage and point in his career, where the star from his shine has definitely dulled significantly. You think the New York Jets would bring Bill Belichick back to New York?
I think there's a good possibility there, and I also think there's a good possibility in Miami.
Miami might be different. I don't think it's happening in New York. I don't think so. Don't get me wrong. Anything would look like an improvement at this particular point. And I'm rooting for Aaron Glenn to get it together because he just started and I want to show grace. But Bill Belichick is clearly somebody that wasn't hired in the NFL because you got some of these young bloods running football teams in the National Football League that ain't trying to answer to him. Because they know he's forgotten more football than they know. So who are they going to be? How the hell are they going to be in any position to tell him anything? And that's what's going on. I think that's what's happening, personally, my personal opinion. I think that's what it is, and that's why they didn't hire him. But there's no excuse that Bill Belichick should have had to go back to college to be a head coach. But since he's been back to college, I mean, damn, you're not at Alabama or anything. Like, you're at North Carolina. That's a basketball school. And when you know they've been around since 1953, and they won five conference championships in 70 plus years. I don't know what to say, Vince. I really, really don't. I just don't think he belongs in college. I think he belongs in the pros, but I think the star has definitely dimmed from his shine, and I think that's what's going on right now as it pertains to him. Rio in Kansas City, you're live with Stephen A. What's up, Rio?
Hey, how you doing, Stephen?
I'm all right. Come on, man. Get some bass in your voice. Talk, you on live national radio. Don't act like you know you just woke up or something. Come on, bro. Let's go.
Well, first of all, I appreciate your time. My question is, I am a Chiefs fan, but my second team is the Miami Dolphins. I just want your quick opinion. What would it take to bring the Dolphins back to championship?
I think a complete overhaul is necessary. Tyreek Hill is hurt. He's out for the rest of the year, obviously, and who knows how well he's going to be for next year. And he didn't want to be there when he was healthy. Tua Tagovailoa doesn't seem like he wants to be there either, so that's problematic. They should have never let go of Brian Flores because that was clearly hurtful to them, because this is an elite defensive coordinator in the National Football League in Minnesota right now. And we all know about the brouhaha involving him. But I just think the Dolphins have hurt themselves. Stephen Ross has hurt himself. And I think they need to make a complete makeover. I don't think that Mike McDaniels is the right man for that job. I don't think that he's a head coach in the National Football League. I think that he could potentially be a brilliant offensive coordinator. But I think that when you're a head coach, you got to be a leader of men. And when you listen to Tua Tagovailoa and then you listen to Mike McDaniels in the aftermath of that, there's no leadership on the Dolphins. That's why Tua said what he said, because he's not going to be able to lead men. You know, when you win, it resolves everything. When you're losing, everything gets highlighted exponentially, and we understand that. But you just got to have a situation where, look, it is what it is. You got to be in a position where you're able to hold grown men accountable, not showing up to team meetings late, stuff like that. You remember how, you know, Tom Coughlin used to be, you late if you show up 5 minutes early. You know what I'm saying? Or rather, being on time to him was 5 minutes early, not showing up right when it's supposed to start. So you got those kind of people. And you got to be able to lead like that. And when you can't, it's problematic. Appreciate the call, though, man. Thank you so much. Swade in Tennessee, you're live with Stephen A. What's up, Swade?
Stephen A, I've been looking for you, man.
I'm here, bro.
I got one thing to say. I think it's as a 9, as a 10, as a 11, as a 12 that is taking me a whole month to get in touch with you, man. We are long lost brothers. We're both Steelers fans. We're both Yankees fans. Today is Columbus Day, but I'm going to rename it Stephen All Day Smith Day, because you just discovered your favorite caller. How about Aaron Rodgers and his swag? We need one more wide receiver, and I think it's a go. Our defense is playing better. Have a great day. I'm your favorite caller going forward. Today is Stephen All Day Smith Day. Have a great day.
Well, I appreciate it, man, but I'm not going to call you my favorite caller yet. You haven't earned that. Just because you throwing laudables in my direction don't mean I'm going to embrace it and give you that kind of swag, Suede. I'm not going to do that. I got plenty of callers that show me love, man, and they're going to keep on showing me love all over this country, all over this world, listening to the Stephen A. Smith Show right here on SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. But I do appreciate the love that you showing me. Thank you so much, and I'm going to give it right back to you by telling you you're welcome to call back anytime, and I am very pleased with how Aaron Rodgers have been playing. I am very pleased on the games that the Steelers have been winning, but in the same breath, you know what? They almost blew the game against Minnesota, and yes, they were playing against a no-offense-having Cleveland Browns team that should have Shedeur Sanders up in there, at least to show us what he's got before this season ends, at least to show us what he's got. Let's go to Mike in South Carolina. You're live with Stephen A. What's up, Mike? Talk to me. How are you?
I'm good, Stephen A. Before I get to my 2 points,
If anything, you my favorite caller. But go ahead, bro.
Take a number. Yeah, take a number, dog. Yeah, get in line.
Go ahead, buddy. Go ahead. We love you, Sway. We love you, dog.
Do you see why I got off the, after 54 years, it would have been December, that I got off the Dolphin bandwagon? Enough of the clown show. I'm not missing that.
It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
No, it's just going to get worse. It's not going to happen in Miami, the Jets, or the Browns. These are loser organizations, and I don't see it ever changing. I'm serious, but enough of that.
I'm not feeling that way about the Browns. I think the Browns' problem is they need a quarterback. They need a quarterback, but they got a defense, Mike. They got a defense that could play with anybody. They just need a quarterback.
Yeah, when's this coach going to be held accountable, though, in Cleveland? They act like he's
the next
Paul
Stefanski's a damn good coach, though. He's a two-time coach of the year. He's a two-time coach of the year, Mike.
What has he done? What has he done here lately?
He hasn't had a quarterback. He hasn't had a quarterback. Now, I will say this to you. There is something to be said about drafting that many damn quarterbacks.
Yes.
If you got two or more, that means you don't really have any.
You got zero.
And that's a problem. You got to go out and find somebody. So I give you credit for that, okay? But that's their bigger problem. That's their bigger problem, man.
I wanted to call you Friday, but I was heading home back up to North Carolina.
Sure.
Because I could not believe what I was hearing out of Oklahoma, that they were going to start Mateer. You cannot tell me after just 2 weeks after surgery that hand was healthy and he looked terrible. I'm very disappointed. And Coach Venable.
Well, I'm glad you reminded me about that. I think that's more of an indictment against this precipitous drop-off that exists between Mateer and his backup. But I got to give Texas credit where it's due. First of all, Arch Manning did not play bad. Let's give him love for that. But their defense was fantastic. They came ready to play, and they were more physical than Oklahoma. I watched most of that game. I was disappointed in Mateer, no doubt about that. But he said no excuses. His hand wasn't hurt. You know, he was just out there. He just didn't play a good game. I got to give him credit where credit is due, because you have to admit this, Mike. We haven't seen Mateer play that bad.
He just had hand surgery 2 weeks before.
I agree.
He was supposed to be out a month. And the coach, as a coach, sometimes you got to protect the player from himself. Look, let him heal up. Put Hawkins out there. You got a lot of football left. If you take a mulligan on that one, you can't tell me Hawkins would have played no worse than Mateer with 3 picks. Yeah. Come on,
but that truly is hindsight. See, that's the problem with that. That truly is hindsight, because the reality is that you don't know that. If you got Hawkins, he's completed the 2 games that he played this year. Right, he didn't start. He completed 55% of his passes. So I got to get 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. I get that part. But maybe, just maybe, they said, yo, putting this brother up against Texas is a bit too much to ask. Mike, I got to run. I appreciate the call, as always, man. Call back anytime. You know that. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Before I go to break, Galen Duffy in Philadelphia sent me this rant at SiriusXM.com/GetSerious.
I just want to say that Dallas Cowboy fans just suck. Always crying, complaining, murmuring. Oh, the referees are cheating us. You suck. I just want to say that the Cowboy fans just suck. Your ownership sucks. Everything about you suck.
That's a serious take on his part. I'm not going to put it in my take of the day, because he used the word suck too many times. You got to be a bit more innovative than that. But I understand his frustration about the Cowboy fans, because you know what they're saying. You know we're going to Super Bowl, right? You know we're going to Super Bowl, right? Ain't happening. But Dak is balling. And wait until CeeDee Lamb came back, considering the way George Pickens has been playing. It's a lot to look at with the Dallas Cowboys to respect offensively. Defensively, they're horrid. Eberflus was the head coach in Chicago last year. He lost that job midway through the season after the blunders in Washington and other places, and then he turned around thereafter. He comes to Dallas as the defensive coordinator, and look how his defense looks. But that's more about Jerry Jones sending away Micah Parsons than one would argue it's about anything else. So all of those things are things to take into consideration. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. More of your calls in a minute. Don't go away. Stephen A. in the house. I'm here.
Back to the Stephen A. Smith Show on Mad Dog Sports Radio. Here's Stephen A. Smith.
I saw something. Ladies and gentlemen, I usually don't have these kind of conversations, and I'm not going to now. But I saw something online about me when I was on vacation. And people were trolling me because, you know, I mean, got a pot belly and, you know, not looking, you know, that attractive. I got it. But to show you the world that we're living in, that photo was from about 4 or 5 years ago. It ain't now. I'm like, yeah, you're going to do all the work that I did. You know, my man, Rashawn, you listen to me, Rashawn. I mean, all that work I did. In the gym, Griff, Sean, the whole, all that work I've done, okay? And my ace, my right hand, Sumatra. All that work I've done, all that time I spent in the gym, they gonna wait until that happened and then pull out a photo from me from 3 or 4 years ago. Ain't that some, I mean, these people kill me. You know what I'm saying? I mean, to those of you out there, how y'all looking? I mean, I know I'm good. And I know I'm good. Oh, Lord. Come here and give Daddy a hug. Come here.
Is this a podcast?
No, it is not. It's my radio show. Say hi, Samantha. Say hi.
Hi to the people. Can they hear me?
Yes, they can hear you.
Should I talk about something
specific?
No,
you should not. Just say hello and then go back.
Hi, guys. Have a good day.
Thank you so much.
Guys, girls, and everything in between.
Oh, Lord. Everything in between, really? That's what we're doing? Yeah. Goodbye. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call. It's 888-623-3646. I'm just saying, like, you know, you put all that work in the gym. I lost, you know, over 20 pounds. I'm in shape the whole bit. And y'all going to pull up something from years ago. It's all right, though. It's okay. One day I'm going to shock y'all. I'm gonna roll up in here with a tank top on. I'm going to shock y'all one day if I feel like it, if I'm in that kind of mood. Let's go back to the phones at 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM Mad Dog Sports Radio. Jim in Pittsburgh, you're live with Stephen A. What's up, Jim? How are you?
Hey, Stephen A. How you doing? I read your book. I really liked it. I wonder what your father would be like after that Yankees series.
Oh, he would throw up. My father would be so disgusted. I mean, man, he'd be throwing stuff at the TV the whole bit. Because see, my father was big on pitching, and it's not that they lost. My father would rather you lose because Aaron Judge didn't step up to the plate than you losing because Heal and Freed and Rodon got a 16.88 ERA combined in their losses.
Right.
That's what my father would have lost it over. You see, he wants his team to win, period. But if you're gonna lose because hitting don't show up because he loved pitching, because he firmly believed that pitching and taught me that pitching was how you won baseball games. Pitching was how you won World Series championships, not hitting.
Your father and my father are kind of like, you know, probably both like George, too, as well.
Oh, did you just say George Steinbrenner? Did you just say George Steinbrenner? The greatest owner in the history of baseball in our household, in the eyes of our household. I mean, I miss that man so much. I miss him so much because, you know, he wouldn't have tolerated half that stuff.
Do you think if George was around, Boone would be coaching? No.
No.
Hell no.
Boone would have been gone. Boone would have been good.
Okay.
And that's not to cast aspersions on Aaron Boone to act like he should be fired. I'm not going to go that far because he has taken them to the postseason in 7 of the 8 years. But no World Series title, only one World Series appearance since 2009 with George Steinbrenner, he would have had about 5 different managers already. He'd had about 5 different managers. I'm telling you that right now. No question.
James Franklin.
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Okay. For me and a buddy of mine I work with, we'd always talk about him. I want him fired like years ago because he beats on the little teams and he can't beat on the big teams. You want to make a big splash? Go! Get the ex Alabama coach.
Nick Saban.
Nick Saban. Go.
You can't get Nick Saban. You can't get Nick Saban. Nick Saban left because he left college football. He didn't leave Alabama.
How about
he
Urban
left
Meyer?
All of college football. He's a 7-time champion. Well, Urban Meyer with the controversy, I would think about Urban Meyer. Despite all of his controversies, I would think about Urban Meyer as well.
I'm hearing the latest, it's going to be Matt Rhule. That's Franklin 2.0 already.
Well, let me ask you this question. What do you think about somebody like John Gruden coming to college football?
As a Raider fan?
It's crazy. As crazy as that may sound. It's a football lifer. Might want to think about it.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm also hearing the Indiana coach.
Cignetti, yes. Yes. Yeah. And he should be considered. Absolutely, because he's winning, and he's winning in the Big Ten. But why leave Indiana for Penn State at this point? At this point, you can make an argument that Indiana's every big as big as Penn State. That's how I look at it.
Do you know Penn State's record is right above Rutgers? How bad
yes.
is that?
Of course. Of course. But last year, they won 13-3, and they won one of the final four teams in football. And the previous year before that, they were 10-3. And the year before that, they were 11-2. So, again, we got to take that into consideration. And they won the Rose Bowl that year in 2022. So, we got to take that into consideration as well. Can't have it all. But I appreciate the call, man. Thank you so much. Let's go to TJ in D.C. You're live with Stephen A. What's up, TJ? How are you?
Hey, what's up, Stephen A.? How are you,
Talk
man?
To me, bro. I'm good, man. How you doing?
Hey, I was calling because what are your thoughts about for the last couple of years, it appears that the refs are in the pockets of the Kansas City Chiefs, especially with the call, the many calls that we saw last night when they taking that Jared Goff touchdown away, and it's not even a reviewable thing. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't think much of it. And the reason I don't think much of it, I think mistakes are a part of the game. Even in this highly technological age that we're living in, where everything is replayed and stuff like that, we see mistakes all the time. You have to show the ability to overcome them. And most importantly, you get the benefit of the doubt when you find ways to win. As we see the Miami Dolphins, the New York Jets of the world, nosediving the way that they have, what we're also paying attention to is how discombobulated they look. How lifeless Miami looks, how disoriented and confused and befuddled the Jets look. That's what we look at. Mm-hmm. Teams like that will never get the benefit of the doubt. But you're going to get the benefit of the doubt if you Andy Reid. You're going to get the benefit of the doubt if you're the reigning defending Super Bowl champion, Philadelphia Eagles, who's offside seemingly half the time when it comes to the tush push. Well, you're going to get those benefits of the doubt when it comes to some of the better franchises in the National Football League that shows an attention to detail, how they know how to manipulate the proceedings and circumvent their way around adverse situations. Those are the things that buy you luck, okay? And I think that's why Kansas City gets it.
Is that fair, though?
It's always fair because it's not flawless anywhere you look. It's not flawless anywhere you look. Every single game that takes place in the National Football League, you got to complain about with the officials. It never fails. It never fails. Even when you got the league office, even when you got replay, even when you got stuff sent up to the booth, every single game, there are challenges to officials' decisions. So I'm not going to highlight Kansas City as if to imply that Patrick Mahomes has been in 5 of the last 6 Super Bowls and he's won 3 of them because he's getting favorable treatment by the officials. That brother's all world. He's spectacular. He's a winner. And we got to give love and respect where it's due. He finds a way.
Yeah, he finds a way with the help of the refs for the last several years.
All right. So who's your favorite team?
Washington Commanders, baby.
All right, so Washington wins a game on a Hail Mary last year. There were several calls during that game against Chicago with Eberflus coaching them where it didn't go Chicago's way. And, you know, nobody was saying anything because guess what? It was Chicago and the Commanders. But it happens. And by the way, let's see. You go ahead and do that. Let's go and see what Jaden Daniels and those boys do tonight in the nation's capital or by the nation's capital against the Chicago Bears. I think that's going to be a good one. Appreciate the call, TJ, though. Thank you so much. Daryl in Miami, you're live with Stephen A. Talk to me, D. How are you?
Hey, everything is good, Stephen A. Hey, look, I'm going back at Matt Eberflus again.
We talked
several weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Right. We talked several weeks ago about his departure, and you had your theory on him that, you know, he's a good coach.
Who'd you say? Who said Eberflus was a good coach? That me? When you heard me say that?
I do recall. Let's back up a step. You said that, you know, Eberflus is not a bad coach. He's not a bad defensive coordinator.
I said he wasn't a bad defensive coordinator at the time, in the past. Yes. Go ahead.
Yep. So now, do you think we're at that point where we can draw a line in the sand and say, you know what, it's time to move on?
You could say that. My problem is it really him, or is it the fact that Jerry Jones has left them bereft of weapons on the defensive side of the ball because he's going all in on the offense with Dak Prescott?
Okay.
Could be that. I mean, you got to give them the personnel. If you're looking at things, now I will say this for Eberflus, this is not a good day for him. Because when Michael Irvin tweets out after the game, I have never seen a defense with so many people so wide open. I've never seen an NFL defense with so many people running wide open. That's what Michael Irvin tweeted. That's not good. That's not good. For Eberflus. That's not good at all, because if there's one thing Michael Irvin is going to do is get Jerry Jones' attention. That is not a good look. No doubt about it. Appreciate the call, my man. Thank you so much. Let's go to George in Connecticut. You're live with Stephen A. What's up, George? I knew I'd hear from you today. What's up?
Hey, Stephen A. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for calling.
Since 1975, I've been a Patriots fan. When you were naming all the AFC teams that have to watch out for Mahomes, you didn't mention the Patriots.
I did not. Good this year. I did not. I did not, because I didn't think that Drake May would be this good.
Okay.
This good, this early. But credit to Mike Vrabel. He looks like a different player than he did last year.
Yes, exactly.
Stephon Diggs as a primary option at the wide receiver spot. Look at what the brothers are doing. And, you know, and easy schedule, too. Let's be real. You're going against the Dolphins, the Raiders. Yeah, you lost to the Steelers. Okay. You know, you went against the Panthers. You beat Buffalo, though. But you did also play the Saints. I mean, there was a couple of losses in there that you should have had. But give credit where credit is due. I got nothing but respect for what I'm seeing the New England Patriots do right now. And most importantly, the biggest compliment that I could give you is that it is clear y'all have found y'all quarterback. It is undeniable.
Absolutely. And now we go to the Titans this week. That's going to be great.
There you go. All right. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with your calls and your voicemail messages to close out the show in a minute. Don't go away.
Back to the Stephen A. Smith Show on Mad Dog Sports Radio.
Forty-six minutes past hour, number two, back here on the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM Mad Dog Sports Radio. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646, plus your voicemail messages at SiriusXM.com/getserious. That's SiriusXM.com/getserious. Back to the phones we go before we get on out of here for the day. Antonio in Baltimore. I would say hello, but I think this is more appropriate. My condolences. What's up?
Hey,
I got two questions for you, and one of them is with the Ravens. But first, since you were talking about James Franklin, should my dude down in Tallahassee be worried about his job?
Tallahassee?
Yeah, Norvell.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Florida State, yes.
Okay.
And I think I think that he has to, because, you know, listen, at some point in time, you're either big time or you're not. You know, Mike Norvell. You know, you're either big time or you're not. I mean, that's what this is. And I'm just looking at him and I'm saying to myself, okay, I was calling up his record. He's 3-3 on the year. Started off with a big win over Alabama, but ever since then, they've nosedived. Meanwhile, Kalen DeBoer loses to Florida State to open the season. Castellanos talking all of that mess and then backing it up against Alabama. And since then, Alabama has been balling. So I got to give love and respect where it's due. Here's my problem with Mike Norvell. He goes on the scene and gets a job that in 2020 that I thought Deion Sanders, prime time Deion Sanders, should have gotten. Okay, and forget the start of 3-6, the start of 5-7 his first 2 years. He turns around that third year, they go 10-3. Then the next year, he won 13-1, and it was really only the Orange Bowl that they lost when they got annihilated by Georgia, because most of the team didn't show up because they were so salty that they were undefeated and they weren't granted a trip in the college football playoffs that they just didn't show up, and they made themselves available for the NFL draft and scouting combine and all of that stuff. But how the hell do you go from 13-1 to 2-10.
Yeah.
That's where Mike Norvell is in trouble. It's not the fact that they're struggling. It's the fact that you went from 13-1 to 2-10. That is inexcusable.
Right.
And that's what you got to look at.
Right. Before I let you go, despite the 1-5 record and a soft schedule ahead of us, you still think the Ravens got a shot? Like I say, with a soft schedule, Lamar coming back, Roquan Smith be back after.
Well, here's the only reason I say what I say. The Pittsburgh Steelers last year lost the last five games of the season. Four consecutive in the regular season, and then they lost the playoff game to Baltimore. The year before that, the Steelers went 3-3 over the last 6 weeks of the season. So my point is, with the Steelers being their number one nemesis, are you going to nosedive at the end of the season, or are you going to hold on and make sure that you're positioned to make some noise and win the AFC North? What are you going to do if you're the Steelers? See what I'm saying?
Right.
That's my issue with them. My issue with them is, when I think about the Ravens still having a chance, I know what they can be offensively if Derrick Henry gets going and Lamar Jackson is back. What I'm leery about when it comes to them, when it comes to the AFC North, rather, is as they get on the come up and get their stuff right, we know that Cincinnati Bengals ain't going to be but so much because Joe Burrow ain't there. We know Cleveland ain't going to be but so much because they don't have a quarterback. In the case of the Pittsburgh Steelers, are you going to spend the last 5-6 weeks of the season losing games?
Right.
That's my issue. And that's what I'm saying. You can't write it off with 11 games to play when the Steelers' history, recent history, has shown you they will lose games at the end of the season. That's my issue. Appreciate the call, Antonio. Thank you so much. Keith in Arizona, you're live with Stephen A. Talk to me.
Hey, Stephen A. Listen, thanks for taking my call. Listen, you teased us a few weeks ago prior to the Parsons call about your sit-down with Jerry Jones, and he said he had a handshake deal, and you thought that communication was improper. But I didn't see any follow-up critique of that communication from the Players Association or the NFL directly.
Neither have the rest of us. Neither of the rest of us. We haven't heard anything.
So wouldn't you think that that communication with the athlete was in fact prohibited by the collective bargaining agreement? I would think so.
One would imagine, but we haven't heard anything. And until we heard it, he hears something, there's nothing we can say or do about it.
All right. Well, I just didn't know. I thought the criticism you levied at him was warranted, and it's unheard of for an owner to
I told him to his face, and I love Jerry Jones. And in the interest of full disclosure, I had to go to Dallas to receive a Lifetime Achievement Award from Nancy Lieberman and her foundation for a fantastic event that I'm incredibly grateful for. And I was incredibly touched because a surprise guest to present to me the Lifetime Achievement Award was Jerry Jones, who stayed in town before he traveled to Chicago to present me with the Lifetime Achievement Award. We have a very good relationship. I got a lot of love for Jerry Jones. I know a lot of things he does off the field for a lot of players, present and former. And that's why I've got love for him. But that doesn't mean he's always right. You understand? That doesn't mean there's plenty of times I haven't looked at him and said that he's wrong. That doesn't mean I haven't told him to his face that he's wrong. And you saw when I sat down and did the interview with him, he said, I don't give a damn what you think. You understand? Because half the time he doesn't. Totally true. You understand? That's the kind of relationship we have. But that doesn't make him right. And I'm telling you right now, I think it was a mistake for him to not re-up Micah Parsons. And I think it was egregious for him to be talking with Micah Parsons and think that that's somehow tantamount to a negotiation with a 25-year-old linebacker at the time, because he didn't turn 26 until March. You can't do that. This guy's a football player. He's not a negotiator. I'm a grown-ass man that's been in this industry for over 30 years, and I wouldn't think to negotiate for myself. I would influence negotiations. I would talk to my representatives. They would be very, very clear about exactly what I want from their interested parties, but certainly I wouldn't be in the negotiating room talking on my own behalf, you know, without representation. That's nonsense. So Jerry has been negotiating for 60-plus years. He's got to know better. And the fact that he was holding Micah Parsons to that and refusing to speak to David Mulugeta, one of the best agents in the business, is ridiculous. That's just, there's no truth to that. There's nothing legitimate about that. Jerry Jones was wrong for that process. And I told him that to his face.
Thanks, man.
All right. Appreciate the call, man. Thank you so much. George in Brooklyn, you're live with Stephen A. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, Stephen A. Glad they took my call. I'm telling
you. No problem.
You,
I'm here. What's up, my brother?
This is coming to New York.
Oh.
There's deep-seated roots here. You got to understand the Greeks from here go to Greece to run in his tournament.
I'm not saying that you're wrong, George. I'm just saying I don't want you to jinx it. I don't want you to jinx me. I don't want you to jinx Knicks fans. I don't want you speaking stuff into existence prematurely, man. I don't want you doing that.
There's
you know, I'm very worried about that.
He knows these people. They go to Barkley. They run like the rats in the Pied Piper. They
okay, I feel you. And then if it doesn't happen, I'm blaming you, George. I'm blaming you.
No problem.
Because you were premature.
Gotcha.
Take it easy, my man. Thank you so much. Mario in New Jersey, you're live with Stephen A. Talk to me. What's up? Mario, are you there? Going once? Going twice? RJ in Atlanta, you're live with Stephen A. Talk to me.
Hey, Stephen A., how are you?
I'm great. Thank you for calling. What's going on?
All right. Talking about Callahan with the Titans, not surprising there. I'm a Titans fan, and we all knew he was in over his head about five games in the last season. Mm-hmm. And we all think Ward has signs of promise. You know, stat lines not necessarily showing, you know, what he's done on the field, I think, if you watch the games. And it is kind of funny that they do this firing a little bit ahead of Vrabel coming to Nashville this week, who I think is going to try and score 100 just out of spite. But mm-hmm. It is interesting you bring up Gruden there with Penn State a few minutes ago. What's your take on if the Titans were to try and go after him and try and mold Cam Ward?
Try to go after who, Gruden?
John Gruden, yeah. I know he's got the legal stuff.
Here's my thing.
But,
here's my thing.
Know, it'd be interesting.
I don't think the Raiders would be as bad with John Gruden at the helm. I don't believe that. That's number one. Number two, I think Raider Nation would be energized and what have you if he was still there. The fact that he's not there, we all know why. We know, we heard about those emails. We saw some of the things that he was texting the former Washington, then Redskins president, Bruce Allen. We saw how egregious it is. Some of it was homophobic. Some of it was considered racist, even though he was just talking. He was talking about DeMaurice Smith, the former executive director of the Players Association, having really big lips or whatever. We had these racial tropes and stuff like that. People doing it. It was egregious. It was, I got it. And he deserved to lose his job. You had to get him away after that. But my point is, I'm very particular about trying to give out death sentences. All of us commit errors and all of us are flawed in the eyes of God. You make mistakes, and if you're a civilized individual that can make an honest living and an honest contribution to society, why shouldn't you be allowed to if you're not in jail? That's my attitude. That's not John Gruden's case. And then when John Gruden makes the case that emails were specifically leaked about him as opposed to a host of other people who were talking, now we have a different dilemma because he's implying that he was made to suffer more so than other people. That he was targeted. And so an arbitrator is not going to, the NFL tried to get the arbitration to hear it, and the courts ruled against that. So this is going to end up possibly going to court unless there's some settlement some way. If I'm John Gruden, the settlement is you lift whatever, you know, restrictions against me to come back to the NFL, because the man's a football lifer. And the reason why I take that position respectfully is also, RJ, because he worked at ESPN. And even though I found what he did to be abhorrent, etc., I also know he was a damn good worker at ESPN who got along with all of us. And for me to ignore the good that came along with him is not something I'm inclined to do. I'd love to sit down one day and interview him and talk to him about what he said and why he said it and all this other stuff. But I also don't want to declare a death sentence for the man. I just don't want to do it, RJ. I just don't want to do it.
More specifically about the Titans, what do you think of the potential prospects, just hypothetically? If
I have no prospects right now. Because they got rid of Vrabel. They brought in Callahan. He clearly was the wrong choice. And now they got to start from scratch and figure it out while Vrabel's got the Patriots going in the right direction. Got to go. Appreciate the call, RJ. Michael in North Carolina talking about the Commanders. You're live with Stephen A. Real quick, you only got a minute, Michael. Go ahead.
Hey, Stephen A., how you doing?
I'm all right. I said you only got a minute. Go ahead.
I just wanted to ask you, how do you feel about my Commanders for tonight and winning the NFC East division and potentially the Super Bowl? Because we were close.
You ain't winning the division.
So
I don't think you're winning the division. I think you got a shot with Jaden Daniels at his best, with McLaurin at his best. I think you can make some noise if those two things happen. I think Quinn knows what he's doing. I think Kingsbury knows what he's doing as an offensive coordinator. But I still don't think you're upending or usurping the Philadelphia Eagles. And I think everybody needs to stand up and be concerned about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers right now. I think they look like one of the best teams in football, and they've got the leading candidate for league MVP honors in Baker Mayfield. And that's without Michael Evans and Chris Godwin being available to him, along with Igbuka, who all are expected to be back as the season wanes. So for me, Tampa Bay is a team on the come up that everybody needs to watch out for. Can Washington surprise people? Sure, but it's going to be more difficult for them to do it this season than it was for them to do it last season, because last season they creeped up on everybody. This season, everybody sees them coming.
Yeah, I do feel like we're going to surprise people. Just like last season, people doubted us and didn't think we had what it takes to beat Tampa Bay in Tampa Bay. We can do it again this year.
I don't think you're going to surprise people. You do it, it's because you're going to be superior. And you did it because you're better. It's not going to be because you caught people by surprise, because I don't believe with Jaden Daniels you're surprising anybody any longer. It's just how I feel about it. That's it for this edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show. Hope y'all enjoyed it. I will be back tomorrow, same bat time and channel, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Until then, I'm signing off. I'm out. Mad Dog Russo up next. Peace and love, everybody.